It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? So glad that you've joined us today. We're in the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 25, and we're going to start reading up here and enjoy the study. And we're going to start with verse 40. And so Matthew 25, verse 40, we'll read to the end of the chapter. And so please that you'd look that up if you possibly can. I'd love for you to follow along in your precious scripture and the Word of God. So while you're doing that, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located in Hamilton, Illinois, at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you'd like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. If you would like to write to us or like to call us by phone, it'd be 217-847-2717. If you'd like to visit our website, it's www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. That's parkviewbiblechurch.org. And if you'd like to email us, it's parkviewbible@gmail.com or parkviewbiblechurch@gmail.com. We would love to hear from you, and I hope that you're enjoying, learning, coming to know the Lord Jesus through the precious scripture. Now let's begin with the study, where that's why we're here, is to come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus. Matthew chapter 25, verse 40. Matthew 25, 40. And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, from everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and ye visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, or thirsty, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. Let's begin with prayer. Father, thank you that we have the opportunity today to enjoy this time. It's just such a privilege, Father, to walk each day and to serve you and to praise your name. And, Father, to introduce others to you, those that have maybe tried to serve under works and things of that sort. But Father, we know it is your grace. We need to trust in your Son, the Lord Jesus, totally and completely, not in any works that we can do or anything like that, but Father, just only believing that your Son Jesus died on the cross, shed his precious blood, was buried, and rose again 3 days later, was total victory, completing the law. Everything is finished. All we need to do, Father, is to come by faith to you, believing your Son is able and capable of saving us, taking our sin away. Thank you, Father, for your strength, for your power, and I pray, Father, that all that are listening today will respond to the call that you give them, because it's not my words, but it's the precious Spirit of God that will come and convict the hearts and show us we're sinners and we need a Savior. So please speak to our hearts now and use your precious word with the power and strength that comes. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Just a little bit of review here. We kind of come midstream. What took place was that this whole section here is concerning the time period during the tribulation. It is not concerning the time that we live in right now. It's not the time of grace. We need to to get the times, the dispensations, the time period here correct. So when we look at this section here, we need to understand that it's speaking to those, the kingdoms, the other nations that stepped in and helped the Jews as they faced so great a persecution. And God is going to bless them and reward them. At the same time, we need to understand that the folks that he's talking about are not rewarded for their works only. It's because they are born again. They are not saved by their works, just as we are not saved by our works. They were born again. They come by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ. There's 144,000 preachers that are out there during this time, during the tribulation period. And during that time, there will be multitudes that will be saved. But the persecution will be magnified as well. And so as we look at this, at the peoples that's there, and those peoples that are in the nations that come to the calling, to the respond, to help the Jews as they face such persecution, God will reward them. But only those that were born again, and the only ones that will want to help the Jews, will be folks that have trusted in the precious blood of Jesus and are born again, born by grace. Then they will want to help. They will want to step in. But the other side of it here are those that do not care. And as it speaks here concerning those that hungered and thirst and are naked, and ye clothed the sick and in prison, and ye visited me not. Those, as we look at those are the ones that did not respond, were not saved, so they cared nothing about the Jews and the persecution they were facing. So that's the group that we're looking at here. So I want you to see that. I want you to see that very, very clearly. And so this, you're saved by grace, and grace produces works. And so they saw a need, and that need, they were hungry, they were thirsty. They took care of them, they clothed them, they visited them. And we need to see that those that were saved by grace and grace alone, not by the works, but those that grace that produces works. That's the only reason that they would do that. And then when we look at these verses of Scripture, we find that when it speaks of the brethren in verse 40 here, and let me just read verse 40. And the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren. That identifies that it's speaking about the Jews, his brethren. And so I want you to see what is taking place here. And so we've got a couple of verses of Scripture here to take a look at. Let's go back to the book of Revelation, Revelation chapter 7. Revelation chapter 7, verse 2. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God, and he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till I have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. And behold, the number of them which were sealed, and there were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. And then it goes down to say they sealed the tribe of Judah, were sealed 12,000, Reuben 12,000, Gad 12,000, and continues. So each tribe had 12,000 witnesses to go out and to win their brethren. And so pleased that you see that that was taking place in calling out. There's going to be a collection, a calling of all the Jews at the rapture of the church. As soon as the church is raptured, that's the end of the church age. It's the end of the day of grace. And that's the end of that time period, that dispensation. And now we move into the tribulation period. And during that tribulation period, there will be these 144,000 witnesses that cannot be touched. Cannot be touched. And so we need to understand that. After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number, of all nations, kindreds, and people, and tongue, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in the white. It's such a joy to read the precious Word of God and to study that. But the sealing of this 144,000, and they come out and they win a multitude of people of every tongue. And then is when the persecution begins for all those that are saved, but especially the brethren. And God's going to bless those and care for those and give them a special blessing for those that cared for those Jews that were saved. And so that's what we're talking about in this text here back in Matthew chapter 25. But let's look at Revelation chapter 6. And we're going to look at verse 9 through 11. And when he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God, and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And the white robes were given unto every one of them, and it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season, until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. And so you see, all this is going on during the tribulation period. And God back here in Matthew is telling us that he is honoring those that assist the brethren, the Jews, during this time period, the time period of the tribulation period. So we need to see that very clearly. Now, as we continue, need to understand that works does not save you. You must be born again. Let's go to Titus chapter 3. And so as we study this and look at what these folks are doing, these kingdoms it speaks of here are doing in service, that's great, but it does not come. Service does not come unless you are born again. It's the only reason you would have any desire to help, because of the level of persecution. Titus chapter 3, beginning with verse 5. Titus chapter 3, verse 5. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration, the renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. That's how we're justified. We're justified by his grace, and we are justified through faith. Faith alone, not any works. Many require baptism for salvation. Many require church membership for salvation. Many, you have to follow a certain doctrine of a church. We need to follow the Word of God. Trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. and Him alone. We are not saved by works. Works testify that we are saved. And the example we have in through the Scripture, a good tree bringeth forth good fruit, a good vine bringeth forth sweet grapes. A born-again believer works good works because believers are God's workmanship. Now, let's look to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. We're all through the wonderful Scripture today. I want you to see these things because that's where the power is in the Word of God, and then the Holy Spirit can speak to you. So please come by faith to the Lord Jesus. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. You see, once we're born again, kingdoms will prove their faith through their kindness to those who suffer. Prove their faith. Faith comes from God. God hands us salvation when we believe that He is the only means of salvation. So please trust in Him. Look what verse 41 has to say here about those that choose not to be born again. And of course then, choose not to help the Jews. Then shall He say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, and everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. There are several things here that should bring terror into the heart of the lost and maybe into yours. It says, Depart from me. Now, these words again pertain to those in the tribulation period. But we are going to face the same thing if you die today in the day of grace in this dispensation period. If you die without trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ for your salvation, those same words will be proclaimed to you. Depart from me. To be banished from Christ forever. That would be hell enough. But the next words in this scripture are, ye cursed. So first, depart from me, to be separated from the presence of God, to separated from the presence of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. See, you don't realize that even though you do not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, if you've not come by faith, you don't realize that you're getting the blessings of God. Oh, I know this old world's a mess, and it seems to be getting worse, and it is getting worse, and it's because of the absence of God. And when I say the absence of God, I'm talking about the presence of believers. We are getting fewer and fewer believers today. We've got a lot of people that are religious, but they're not true believers. And if you do not come by faith to the Lord Jesus, accept Him as your Savior, you're not a true believer, and the Holy Spirit will not come to live within your heart. So you see, the witness of God upon earth right now is the true believer with the Holy Spirit in his heart. And as that number decreases, the presence of God decreases, and wickedness increases. It's just that simple. So you want to know why things are going on the way they're going today? It's because of unbelief. It's because of turning their heart and their face and their life against God. That is the reason for what we have today. So please that you understand that Jesus is going to say, Depart from me. And He's also going to add the words, Ye cursed. ye cursed. Cursed because they had rejected the grace of God. Cursed because the message of the gospel they have turned their back on. They have rejected these precious words. There's more. There's more. Everlasting fire. So we have, first, the demand, depart from me. Separate yourself never to see me or my presence again. Cursed. Ye are cursed. And the reason that ye are cursed, and maybe those words have lost their strength and their power in our minds, but not in the heart of God. Because to be cursed is to reject the precious word of God and to turn your back on God. And then we have those words, everlasting fire. Hell is a place of literal fire. Don't think this is just something that's kind of spiritual or some kind of picture here, because it is not. It is literal. Did you know that there is more in the New Testament about hell than heaven? If you question that this isn't a real place, you're badly mistaken. Jesus teaches many things in the precious word, and here in Matthew, and then also in Mark and Luke, Jesus himself makes this very clear. Let's look at Matthew chapter 5. Verse 21, ye have heard that it was said by them of old times, thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without cause shall be in danger of the judgment, and whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be danger of hell fire. Of hell fire. This is the Lord Jesus himself teaching very clearly the word of God. In danger of hell fire. Now, how can a person ever survive if it is so simple today to say that whosoever is angry with his brother without cause shall be in danger of judgment? That's the reason you need Jesus, because you can't make it without him. Maybe you haven't murdered somebody, but have you been angry with somebody without a cause? Oh, no, never without a cause. Yes, I'm sure you have. But you see, if you trust in the Lord Jesus, your sins are forgiven. You must come to the Lord Jesus. Let's also look here on to the 29th verse of chapter 5 of Matthew. And if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out. Cast it from thee, for it's more profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. Cast into hell. Let's go to Mark chapter 9. Matthew, Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9, verse 43. And if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands and go into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched. Jesus himself just continues to give much description here. Verse 44, where the worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. And if thy foot offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter halt into life than having two feet to be cast into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. It just continues. And if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out. It is better for thee to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than having two eyes to be cast into hellfire. Again, where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. Literal, literal, literal. Jesus is speaking clearly of hell. Hell is a literal place. Hell has literal fire. Those that go there will have a body which will feel the torment of fire. The bodies in hell will never burn up. They will not be annihilated. They will burn forever and ever. Jesus taught it is a place also with gates. Let's look at Matthew chapter 16. So much here concerning hell. So please don't reject the thought. Don't ignore the thought. Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, and I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Matthew 23:33. Matthew 23:33. Ye serpents, ye generation of vipers, how can you escape the damnation of hell? Unending. Never ends. The damnation of hell. Now, let's look at Luke. I hope we have enough time to get through this, because if we don't, we'll pick it up here next time. Luke chapter 16. Hope you can hear the pages turning, because I hope you're doing the same. Luke chapter 16, beginning to read with verse 19. There was a certain rich man, which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate, full of sores, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died, and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell, the rich man, in hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue. You want to wonder if it's real? For I am tormented in this flame. Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime received thy good things, likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. Besides all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldst send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come unto this place of torment. But Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said to them, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. You need to listen to the word of God. I didn't think we had time to discuss this. We'll read this again next time. My dear friend, please, what are you going to do about Jesus?